You love the Lord? Would you give him a praise? Would you just give him a hand clap and tell him what a wonderful Father he is? We love you, Father. We love you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Be seated. Be seated. Again, happy Father's Day. We're told a very interesting story about a husband and a father in the book of 2 Kings. And if you've got your Bibles, I really need you to be in 2 Kings chapter 4 and Deuteronomy chapter 11. And I'll flip over to Deuteronomy one time, but then we're going to spend most of our time back in Kings. But in 2 Kings chapter 4, I think we're given a story here that I think is going to help us all. Now, even if you're not a dad yet, you need to hear this so that when you begin your family, that you can take this principle and make certain that it's implanted into your home. Okay, in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 9 through 10, it says this. She said to her husband, I know that this man, and this man that we're speaking of here is the prophet Elisha, that I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room. Now, I need you to say that back to me, and I need you to say it back loudly. Let's make a small room. Good, because that's the title, a small room. Let's make a small room on the roof. Now, this particular situation and the roof has some spiritual implications that it's on top of the house that was already built. It was on top of the natural house. It was over it. It was covering it. It was on the top. It was on the roof. And put in it, now notice these pieces of furnishings, a bed and a table, a chair, and a lamp for him. Him being the things of the Spirit. The spiritual application here. In this case, it's the prophet, but it's the spiritual things for him. Then he can stay here. If we want the Spirit to stay in our homes, then we need these pieces of furnishings. He can stay there whenever he comes to us. We're given something here. This couple, an elderly couple, they were very wealthy, the Bible tells us, and they had built a natural house. In today's ways and ideals, they would have the nice carpet or maybe hardwood floors. They would have the nice living room suits and bedroom suits and dining room suits. Maybe have a pool, you know, have everything, all the niceties. Maybe drive the very best vehicles, BMWs, Mercedes, whatever. But they would have had the best. But what they were doing now is adding to their home a small room. A room for the spiritual things, a room that would house. And so you understand what I'm talking about here. When we're talking about adding this to our homes, we're not necessarily talking about going up on the roof and building another room up there or adding a side apartment on or anything like that. We're talking about a spiritual situation here. That in our lives, what we need in our lives is, in our homes specifically, is we need a small room. We need a place for the things of the Spirit to dwell, to come, to stay there. And this is what we're talking about here. You see, what I found out today is that a major problem with us dads especially is that we focus so much on the natural. We focus so much on the natural things that we lose touch with the spiritual things. We focus so much on getting the things furnished in our natural homes that we don't emphasize correctly enough for the things of the spiritual home. And God just says, I just want a small room. If you'll just give me a small room, you'll be amazed at what I can do in your homes. If you'll just give me a place for that. You see, church is more than just coming to church on Sunday. This is not just all church is. Church is mostly should be taking place in your homes. And this is what the book of Deuteronomy says. So if you've got your Bibles, then look at Deuteronomy with me in chapter 11. And I want to go through this, and I'm going to get them to leave this up on the side screens for you so I can work through these verses with us, and you can see more of what I'm trying to say this morning. In Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 20, it says this, fix these words of mine in your hearts and mind. Fix. How do you fix? Well, they get implanted. They get embedded. They become a part of us. They get fixed in our hearts. They get fixed in our minds. How does this happen? Well, he tells us. He's going to give us five, and I want you to look at the term them. How do we fix them? How do we fix them in our minds? So he's going to give us five. He's going to say these five things. He's going to say tie them. He's going to say bind them. He's going to say teach them. He's going to say talk about them. And he's going to say write them. So watch this as I work through this. First thing he says is tie them to your hands. Tie them to your hands. In other words, make sure that when you do life, when you handle life, that you're handling it the way God says to handle it. And then he says, bind them to your foreheads. In other words, make sure that the God's word is bound in your mind, bound in your thinking. And when you process life, you process situations, you process and going through life, that you're processing it with your mind fixed on the things of God. And he uses the term here, symbols. If we'll do this, then we become a symbol of the Word of God. We become a symbol of what a godly father would be, a symbol of what a godly parent would be. And then he says this, not only do we tie them to our hands and bind them to our foreheads, he says we teach them to our children. Now, it's not fixed in your home until it's taught to your children. You can say, Father, you need to realize that it's your responsibility primarily to make sure your children are taught the things of God, taught the Word of God. You need to teach them to your children. And it will never be fixed in your home and fixed in your mind or fixed in your children until you teach it to your children. And then he says, then write them. No, he says, talk about them. Talk about them. Talk about them when? Talk about them when you lay down. Talk about them when you get up. Talk about them when you walk in the way, it says there. But we can use that more as in a way of when we get in the car together and we're driving down the road together and we're all in the same. Use that time. And he doesn't want you to just talk. He wants it blended. He wants your walk in the natural to blend with your walk in the spiritual. You can't be one way or the other way and expect to have a good balanced home. But he wants these things to blend together so that our natural walk blends together with our spiritual walk. Talk about them at night. Don't just think he wants you in the daytime. He wants you to talk about him at home and talk about them when you're sitting in your chairs and talk about them when you're walking in the way. And then he says to write them on the door frames and on the gates. Write them. What does that mean? It means your house should, when we enter your house, when people enter into your house, they should sense the presence of God there. Have you ever gone to a home where it was not fun? I mean, you knew that there was tension. You knew that the children were bickering, that the parents were fighting, and it was not fun to be there. Well, see, when you have a small room in your house, when there's a place for God in your house, when you enter that house and enter your home, if you have one like this, then you should sense the presence of God there. It should be a place where you enter that on your doorpost or on your gates, that when you come into this, you know that the presence of God is there. So he says to tie them to your hands, to bind them to your foreheads. He says to teach them to your children. He says to talk about them when you have an opportunity. And then he says to write them. Make sure that they're on the entrance of your house. So that. There's a reason for this. Now get this, dads. Make sure you see why we do this. So that your days will be what? And your children's days will be what? Many. Many. When you are where in the land he gave you, when you are where he puts you, then what you're going to have are many days. You're going to have good days, blessed days. You're going to have a great life. This is what he's trying to say to us. If you will do this, then I'll make certain that you have good days, many days. Your children will have many days. And then he doesn't end there. He says, you've really begun something eternal. This is as eternal as the heavens, the days of the heavens over the earth. When I made sure certain that my home had a small room, when I made certain of that, I began something eternal in my generations to come. And I'm already seeing it starting to come around. I'm seeing it in my children, and now I'm seeing it in my grandchildren. And I've at least got four generations coming where they're going to be influenced by what I did by establishing into my home a small room. And this is what I'm trying to say to you. This is what God wants us to do. See, the problem that we do is we only think church on Sunday. And then we go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And we kind of ignore God. We ignore him by not reading his word. Him talking to us. We ignore him by not praying or talking to him. We ignore him by not talking about him to our children. When we have an opportunity to do it, we don't. We'll talk about everything else. But we go all week without thinking about the things of God, and we want to do church on Sunday. And we wonder why our homes are a mess or why our children give us fit every day but Sunday. Sometimes.
Sometimes they give us food also.
But you understand my principle? If we would blend this together and make a small room in our homes for the things of God, for the spiritual applications, our homes are going to be so much better. Now, back in 2 Kings chapter 4, I want to talk about this story just a little bit. And I want to talk, first of all, about the furnishings that the Holy Spirit or that the spiritual things need in your home. What the furnishings that they put into this room. In 2 Kings 4:10, it says, "Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us." How many of you think that there's going to be some time during your home life that you're going to need the Holy Spirit to be there? And you kind of want him to kind of stay there maybe? Well, these are the things you need. Now I'm not talking again about a natural lamp and a natural bed. I'm talking spiritual things here. For example, in the book of Deuteronomy, it said to be talking about them, the things of God, when you sit at home. You need a chair. You need a chair of communication. You see, dads, what we've got to do is take time and sit and communicate with our wives. We've got to communicate with our children, and we've got to communicate with our grandchildren. We've got to have a chair of communication. When is the last time that you sat and really had dialogue with your children or with your grandchildren? Just sit. Just shut the thing down. Shut everything down and give them your undivided attention and let them talk to you and communicate with you. Dads, you got to get into your children's heads. You got to know about their friends. I don't say you have to know their friends, but you got to know about their friends. You need to know about where they're going tonight, but you need to know about what they're going to do with the rest of their lives. And you're never going to know those things if you don't sit and communicate. If you don't shut everything else down and just sit and get still and talk to your children. When is the last time you did that? And you use that opportunity to talk about perhaps the things of God. Maybe, I saw the neatest thing in the Bible when I was reading it a little while ago. And share that with your child. Impart that into your child. Or say, I had a situation at work and here's how I handled it through a principle of God. Now you're starting to blend together the things of the spiritual room, the little room or the small room with the natural. And all of a sudden, you're going to see a major change taking place in your home. You need a chair of communication. And also in this room was a bed. It says in Deuteronomy, it said again, and talking about them when you lie down. You need a spiritual bed. Now, in the natural, a bed is a place where we go and we rest. A place where we go and rejuvenate and get ready for the rest of the day or the next day. But a bed is a place where we go and get alone, get silent, get quiet, get rested. It tells us, too, that God's just not interested in our days, but he's interested in our nights. See, God wants us to communicate about him and with him, and he wants to be a part of us. How many of you ever prayed with your child? Maybe you took your child and you did prayers with them, and they maybe knelt beside the bed, and you prayed with them at the bed. And then when you got done praying, they got in the bed and you tucked them in. And as it were, you laid them before the Lord. You see, this is the bed. It's a place of rejuvenation, a place of revitalizing. Now, it also says that the bed and the rest can be a place of rest for your home. Is your home a place of rest or a place of turmoil? See, it'll never be a place of rest if you don't have a small room. You can forget it. You're going to have turmoil and stuff going on all the time. But if you've got a place where you can lay the child before the Lord, lay your problems before the Lord, where you, Dad, can get alone before the Lord and think things through and just lay before the Lord and let him minister to you, you're never going to have peace in your home until you're able to do that. You need a spiritual bed in your little room, in your small room. I also said that you needed a table there. Needed a table. Now, in our society today, there's a lot of things going on in eating disorders. You look at people, and it's the most obese generation that's ever been around. their children are filling themselves with junk food. They get way overweight. They're way unhealthy. On the other extreme, we're battling bulimia, anorexia, binge eating. All these eating disorders are happening right now in our society. And if we're we as parents and we as dads, especially, and that's who I'm talking to today, as we as dads are usually the most ignorant as to knowing the eating habits of our children. We don't know what they eat. And if we're not keen on their physical, which we can actually see what they're eating, then that tells us we're very unkeen on what they're eating spiritually. What are they ingesting spiritually? What music are they putting in themselves? What music do they fill up on? Is it junk? What movies do they watch? You know, you got to realize that's going into their spirits. That's going into their souls. They're eating that. They're ingesting that. And they can be obese on junk food. Or they can be anorexia or bulimic. I've even seen young people, I've seen our children sometimes do binge eating. You know, they just dive into the Word of God, man. They're just all into it for about 2 or 3 weeks and they purge. Dad, do you know your child's spiritual eating habits? Do you have a table where you sit and you just see what they're ingesting? You need a table, Dad. You need to know what your child is eating. You need a table in your small room. And there's one other thing that was in that small room. It was a lamp. There was a lamp in that small room. The Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." What he's saying here is that your word is designed to give me direction in my dark times. It's designed to lead me through the dark times of life. "Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet." The only time you need a lamp is when things get dark. In home life, in family life, you're going to have some dark times, folks. Dad, you know you will. If you've been at it more than a couple of years, you know there's going to be some dark times at home. And what he's saying here is that if you'll have the Word of God, it'll help you get through those dark times. I've been doing this for a long time, pastoring, and one of the saddest things to me is when people turn that lamp on. They'll come into church and they'll fire that lamp up and I'll watch their homes change. I'll watch their marriage change. I'll watch their children change. I'll watch their finances change. And then all of a sudden, they stop keeping that lamp lit. Either the oil goes out or they don't trim the wick. And the next thing I know is it's getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And then all of a sudden, I stop seeing them. They stop coming. They stop fellowshipping with the saints. Next thing I hear, they're having marital problems. Their children are in tremendous rebellion. They're going through financial difficulties. Why? Because the lamp went out. See, Dad, it's your responsibility to make sure that that lamp keeps burning and keeps burning brightly in your home. It's up to you to make sure the wicks stay trimmed and that the oil never runs out and that that lamp continuously gives you sight through the dark times. It's so sad to see people get lost in the darkness because they get out of the Word of God. You need a lamp. So, do you have those in your homes, Dads? Are these things in your homes? Do you have the bed where your home is a place of rest, where you can lay your problems and your children on that bed before the Lord? Do you have this table where you can really see what your children and your home is ingesting? Do you have the chair of communication? Do you have the lamp of the Word giving you light through your decisions at home? These are the things that you need in your home. Now, the man and the woman in our story, were an elderly couple. And what's interesting is they made this room, this small room, and one day Elisha the prophet was there, and he was in that small room. I don't know if he was sitting on the bed or sitting in the chair or or at the table, or I don't know exactly where he was, but he was in this room, and he spoke a word of prophecy to this couple. And what he did is he spoke the word of the Lord, giving them the desires of their heart. Now, what you need to know is if you'll have a small room in your house, God will give you the desires of their heart. And what they wanted was a child. They were an elderly couple, and she was barren. And so what God says, this time next year, you're going to have a child. And sure enough, that time next year, she had a son. The Bible goes on, and the time goes on, and I want to pick up the reading of it now in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 16. And what's happening here is the child has grown. And let's read it. 2 Kings 4 verses 18 through 19 says, and the child grew, and one day he went out to his father. I need you to see that. He didn't go to his mother. He went out to who? He went out to his father. He went out to his father, who was with the reapers. In other words, dad's in his field. Dad's getting his harvest. Dad's reaping. And the child says, my head, my head. He said to the father, and his father told a servant, carry him to his mother. Now, it's interesting because this man had this small room, that he had a chair of communication, that he had a table, that he had a lamp, that he had the bed. He had done all of those things. These were in his home. But yet, when it comes time for the child who's got something going on in his head, he goes to his father. Dads, you got to hear me. There's going to be times when your child is going to want to come to you and not go to mom. And when they're going to come to you because they feel like you've got the answer to what's going on in their head. They're coming to you. They want your input. They want your input. They want to spend some time with you. And what we often do, we dads do, what this dad did, even though he had the small room in his house, he was so into his field, he was so into his reaping, he was so into his getting, that he says, take him to his mother. Well, hello, you're awfully quiet, but you know I'm right, don't you? Here's my heart. I'm opening up. If I failed my home, my family in any way, it's this way. And probably done a lot of ways, but this would be number one. There's been times, and can still be times, when I get so into my field that I don't know what's going on in my children's heads. My head. I don't know what's going on in their families. I don't know what's going on their lives. And I'm determined not to let that happen with my grandchildren. There was a time when my life consisted of three sermons a week. I had Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, three new sermons every week. Now, you ought to try that sometimes. Plus, I pastored a church. I had to do all the hospital visitation, all the counseling. Oh, no help then. Plus, I was working on my college degree. I was so into my field that I didn't know what was going on in my children's heads. That's not what good dads do. A few weeks ago, actually not even that long ago, maybe a week or so ago, I was working on this lesson. I was at home. I had all three grandsons. I don't know where everybody else ended up, but I had them all three. And I was having a ball. One, the littlest one, he was asleep. And so Jack and Max were playing in front of me, and they were playing ball, as they always do. And I was sitting in my chair in my field with my laptop on my lap working on this lesson. Sitting there, everybody's happy. And then all of a sudden, Jack says, aw, Daddy. Now, Jack named me Aw, Daddy. Aw, Daddy, will you go upstairs with us and play, watch us play a video game? And I nearly did the, I'm busy right now, let's do it later. I nearly did the, I am doing the work of the Lord, son, can't you tell? But I heard the voice of the Spirit inside of me and said, the work of the Lord for you right now, Delbert, is to put that computer down and go spend time with your grandsons. I looked at Jack and I said, sure, let's go. I laid that computer down, up the steps we went, got the video game run, and I laid in the bed and watched my grandsons play. Now, they just wanted me there. He's always done that. That's been Jack's thing with me always, ever since I can remember. He wanted me just to go up and eat popcorn with him in the bed. I mean, he just wants to be with me. And as this son of this man came out to him, Jack comes out to me sometimes, and I got an opportunity here to connect. You see, if I can connect now when he comes out to me, then later on in life, he's going to have a real situation going on in his head, and I want to be there for him. I want to tell you one more Jack story, and then I'll promise I won't talk about my grandchildren anymore. Last Wednesday, I was at the house, and my cell phone rang, and I looked, and it was Bonnie's cell phone calling me, and I was expecting to hear Bonnie on the phone, and it was Jack. And Jack says, "Oh, Daddy," he says, "doesn't Edgar Renteria play for the Braves?" And he knows I watch the Braves. And I said, "Yes, he's the shortstop." And he says, "Well, I have a baseball card, and it says he plays for Boston." And he says, "Does he?" And I says, "No, I think they acquired him from Boston." I said, "Let me go down." I says, "I'll get the computer. I'll find out. I'll get his stat sheet and his biography, and I'll send it to you." Now, was he waiting on this? I didn't know he was. So I did. I went down, and I got it, and I just emailed it off to him, fired up. And it wasn't but just a little while. He emails me back. And I want to read it to you, what he sent me back. He says, "Dear Aw Daddy, thank you for sending me all that Renteria stuff. I wrote a lot about Renteria. You're the best Aw Daddy in the whole wide world." From Jack. Now my point is, see, he's coming out to me. And the rest of them will too, as long as I don't get so busy in my field that I don't say, "Go ask your grandmother," or "Go ask your mother," or even "Go ask your daddy." You see, it's an opportunity. Even with my children, Lance and I, of course, we're together nearly every day. And sometimes I'll just realize it's been a while since we've talked, and I'll just walk into his office and I'll sit down in that chair of communication. And we'll just talk. And sometimes he'll come into my office. Bonnie calls me sometimes. Now, usually when Bonnie calls me, it's about a computer problem or it's about hanging the ceiling fan. And that's okay. Hey, that's fine. That gives me a time. It's okay. And she knows. I love it. What I'm trying to say is that, listen, you just can't get so busy in your field. I stopped my field to go down and hang up. How many did I get that day? 3 ceiling panels in? Huh? So, I mean, I learned, though. But here's what I'm trying to get you here. Hear me, dads, is that you've got to not get so busy in your reaping and so focused on the natural house that you lose sight of that small room that God wants you to have. In that small room, that's what's going to make your home work. That's what's going to make your home successful. That's what's going to make your children be all that God wants them to be. It's the small room, not the big part. And God just wants a small part. He doesn't want you to do it all the time. In fact, I think people that do it all the time are weird. But I think when you can blend it together, the natural and the spiritual, like the Bible teaches us to do, I think, man, it's great. The boy said, my head. Now, if you're a parent, you know that raising children give you a headache, right? Am I right? Come on. But what we forget as parents is that our children have headaches too. They've got things going on in their heads, i.e. problems. And Dad, you cannot ignore it. You got to sit down in that chair of communication. You got to sit at that table. You have got to light that lamp. You have got to get in that bed. You have got to do that small room thing with that child. It's that important. They have a headache. Let me tell you what happened in the story. The servant took the child to his mother, and the Bible says that the mother held the child till noon, and the child died. She took the child, and then she took him not to the back seat of the Mercedes or to the fine furniture that was in the house or to the swimming pool. She took the child and put him in that small room and laid him on the bed. She shut the door. She called out to her husband. She said, "Hurry, send me somebody to take me to the man of God." Here, he is so into his field. He is so into his reaping and getting. He has no clue of what's going on in his home. He's got a dead child in his home, and he's oblivious to it. And here's what he said. I want to show it to you in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 23. Now, he's got the small room, but he's so into this other thing. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 23 says, "Why go to him today?" he asked. It's not Easter. It's not Sunday. It's not even Christmas. So what does she say? It's okay. It's okay. It's all right. Because she's going. And she goes. And Elisha sees her coming from a long ways off. And Elisha sends his servant, Gehazi, to her. And he sends his servant with three questions. And I want you to see these questions, Dad, because I'm about to ask them to you. Three questions he wants to know. In 2 Kings 4:26, he says, "Run to meet her and ask her, 'Are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right?'" And she says, "Everything is all right." Dad, are you all right when it comes to being busy? You may have the small room, but when it comes to being so busy, are you all right? Do you have a chair of communication, the table, the lamp? Do you all have all these things going on, not just in the small room, but in your life when things get hectic, when things get dark, when your child has a headache? How are things with your wife? Now listen, you can have a small room, as this man did. You can have a small room and things not be all right with the wife. How are things with your wife? And then he says, how are things with your children? You got any children with headaches? How are things? And what she said is, it is all right. It's okay. Now, you know, you got to see beyond the normal here. See, what she did is, what she's saying is in the natural house, I got a dead child. In the natural house, things are bad. In the natural house, it's too late. But in the spiritual, in the small room, she's saying, I can lay him before the Lord. It's not too late. It's never too late to God. And God, you can do all things. And I have done what I'm supposed to do. I have made a small room in my home. I am make sure that it's prepared and it's ready. And I've got my child in that small room. And I know that God is well able to raise my child. I know that God is well able to do what he said he was going to do with my child, because I have done what I was supposed to do. And parents, if you'll do what you're supposed to do, God will do what he's supposed to do. So here's what happened quickly. Elisha went to the home. It's very interesting. He went in the room where the child was laying on the bed, and he shut the door. And what I want to show you here is that if you'll have a small room, God will make a time. He'll send somebody. There will be a personal encounter that your child will have with the Spirit of God. If you'll provide the small room, God will provide the way. A personal, alone encounter. He went into that room, and it was a strange thing. The child was on the bed, and the Bible says Elijah covered the child with his own body. He got on that child. The Bible says eyes to eyes, mouth to mouth, and hands to hands. How many of you would love for the Spirit of God to breathe into your child? How many of you would love the Spirit of God to give vision into your child? How many of you would love the Spirit of God to give anointing to the hands and to the works, so that your children and your grandchildren, everything they touch will prosper? And see, he covered him in the small room, in that bed. And the Bible says he got warm. Elijah got up and he prayed. I want you to hear this. But God wasn't happy with him just being warm. He got back over him again, eye to eye, mouth to mouth, hand to hand. See, God's not happy with your child just being warm to the things of God. God wants your child alive. God wants your child to open his eyes and see the things of the Spirit. God wants you to hold hands, and he wants your child to hold hands in hands with the Spirit of God. He wants your child to breathe the breath of the Spirit of God. And what the Bible says is that child sneezed 7 times. What does that mean? He sneezed out all kinds of stuff. He sneezed out all kinds of darkness and things that were holding that child back, and addictions and sin and darkness that was in. He sneezed all that stuff out. God will do that for your child. But you got to have a small room. You got to have a place for it to happen. But God wants your child to live. And the Bible says he opened his eyes and he was alive. What did he open his eyes and see? The things of the Spirit. What I've tried to share with you today and tell you today, dads, is that God wants you to have a room, a small room in your home. Is there a chair of communication in your home? Is there a table for spiritual food? Is there a lamp for the Word of God? Is there a bed to lay your children before the Lord and your problems and your situations before the Lord? I have to ask you, how busy are you? Are you too busy? Which father would you be? The one that would lay it down and grab that child's head and say, let's see what's going on in your head. Let me pray for you. Or would you say, go talk to your mother? I ask, if the Lord were to ask you today, do you really have dialogue with your children? Do you really know what they're eating and ingesting? What would your answer be? What's going on in your child's head? Now, we've got some great dads here at LifeGate Church. I look at some of you guys and I'm in awe, and I say, I wish I could have been that good of a dad. And I applaud you. And so to this, maybe to you, this lesson to you has just been something that maybe cheered you up. But maybe some of you don't have this. And I'm telling you, here's how you can fix so many things in your home. You'll have a small room. And if you'll do it, here's what'll happen. You'll live long. You'll have many days. If you'll do it, your children will live long and have many days. But more important, you're starting something that's eternal. You're changing generations by your adding a small room to your home. Would you stand with me? Lord, I bless our dads. I bless them. They work so hard. They want to provide so many nice things for their families. They're diligent. They get up early and go to work, work long hours. I so applaud them. But Lord, I pray today that each dad here be just as diligent to make sure that the small room is just as furnished as the nice house. And I also pray, Lord, that each dad here will understand something's going on in their child's head, and that they'll stop and they'll take time to figure out what it is. So, Father, I bless them now, and I ask you to be with each one on this wonderful Father's Day. As we leave this place, and as we go to homes or restaurants or wherever that it is that we may be going, that the children will so appreciate their dads and all they do for them, all the work and all the labor, so that they can have cars and nice houses and nice clothes and college. But Father, I pray too that they'll be able to have a communication with Dad. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you receive that? Did you give the Lord a hand clap? Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.